Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio.
It's about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Colin DeBott. Phone lines here, 221-1402. If you're calling from out of the area, it's 1-800-521-1989. And if you have a computer and you'd want to hear us, you just go to kqms.com and we stream live.
How about the 800 number?
800 number. Didn't I just give that? 1-800-521-1889. I did give that one.
Oh, okay.
It's Monday. Hey, and speaking of Monday, here comes Frosty.
Good morning.
So what did you do this weekend?
Just kind of relaxed, you know. It was a nice weekend.
Well, you know, you got to save yourself for next Saturday for the show.
Oh,
so you
yeah.
can be there. Got tickets for you and everything, and I expect you to be there with your other half. And speaking of other halves, the better half. Linda.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, we do call this, or I have started to call this week lockdown. Why is it lockdown? Because, you know, Saturday night is the big concert at the Cascade, of course, August 15th. But every single day, every single night, just the closing, you know, tie up the loose ends. And I'd like to start off, first of all, I want to thank a few people, and I'm going to probably do this every day because there's been lots of people who have helped in donating things for the concert, which is going to be, we'll have a military tribute and all kinds of wonderful guest artists, wonderful local talent. But I wanted to thank Snow's Rental Place. They have been amazing and very generous. And Four Winds Jewelry, I'm absolutely going to be having the real thing on stage and a bodyguard backstage, of course, because they brought out the Oscar stuff for that night. And Bridge House, Janelle, who runs the Bridge House Bed and Breakfast. I'm telling you, if you ever have a full house and you can't fit people in, the Bridge House is one of the most elegant B&Bs I have seen. She is so cool. And it's affordable, but the rooms are just really nice. She's got four rooms right on the river, right off of Riverside. And Janelle, thanks for putting up my family, actually, that's coming in for the concert.
You know, today is going to be a great day. We've got a special guest here. At 8:30, we're going to have another guest. And, I usually don't do books, you know, and have authors on. But today is going to be General Tony Zinni. He's going to be talking about leadership from the battlefield to the boardroom. And, one of the things that Linda and I have been discussing now for weeks is the lack of leadership we have from the highest levels down, you know, from the highest levels of government and in business that's caused so many of these problems. He's got a lot of new ideas on this and how leadership has changed. But we're going to get to our first guest and our very special guest.
Is one of our upcoming.
Right
after this break.
After this break. Colin DeBott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio News Talk 1400 KQMS. May, just hold on for a second. We've got a very special guest in the studio today. And there's nothing that warms my heart more than introducing new up and coming talent from the North State. I saw you first in Kids Unlimited. First, let me introduce to you Maddie Shute. Good morning, Maddie.
Thank you. Good morning.
I'm so excited. Maddie is going to be in the concert Saturday night, Martinis with Santa. And Maddie and I are doing a special duet where we get to send off our wonderful I'll Be Home for Christmas thoughts to the troops who are serving overseas. But Maddie, the first time I saw you was in Kids Unlimited. Tell our audience how old you are.
I am 11 years old.
And you've been singing and dancing for how long?
Probably since I was 7.
So you can hear how articulate and wonderful this girl is. The first time I saw her on stage, I was amazed. So what happens when you go back to school?
When I go back to school, well, I'm taking a dance class at UPrep. I'm going to be in 6th grade.
Okay. And do you have a special favorite subject?
I don't know. Probably I like reading a lot. And writing.
Did I hear that you were in some kind of science program, though? Like an advanced kind of a math or some kind of...
Oh, yeah, advanced math, yeah.
Advanced math.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so is this the first time you're really going to be soloing on stage where the spotlight is just on you?
Yeah, I think it is.
So this is very exciting.
You know what? You know, it's not just because that you're my wife, but you two are adorable when you two are working together. So I can't, you know, this is going to be great because we are going to be mentioning our warriors that are deployed by name. And it's just going to be, you know, it's again, the tribute to the troops, the ones that are deployed. So.
And we'll be doing I'll Be Home for Christmas, which is one of the top three numbers to open the show. Now, Maddie, do you have a shout out for anybody? You want to say hello to anybody that might be listening?
Well, just to anybody who knows me. Hi, everybody. This is really cool that I get to be on the radio.
You know, that's what I thought when I was on it first too.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, this is really cool, and then then I ran out of things to say, which took the first 10 seconds.
Well, let's take a caller right now. May, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, we got a few comments. I just read in the paper that the state has got no money for the kids to get their books for school. There's plenty of money out there if they quit, you know, spending it. And then too, we could get that plane out there and put those fires out if our governor gets it out of his hind pocket. And then, too, there is plenty of money. If the state can give it, you know, the school money, Lotto can give it money together. They don't have to split it.
I think that you're right. I think that they're saying that they're delaying the updating of books because of the lack of money. You know, I see these books that they're spending millions of dollars on. And, I mean, they're really good books. I mean, it's from things that, I remember back when I was in high school, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, and then from college, 4 or 5 years ago, that the books were really similar. In fact, there was a lot of information. But you're right, May. You know, again, we go back to leadership. We go back to people that are having to make decisions. Thanks a lot for your phone call. You know, here's the thing. You know, it's, you know what I read today is that that they marked that legislators who vote for bills, like in the assembly, not the Senate, but the assembly, can have their votes erased. Can you believe that? They can have their votes erased. Like the ones that voted for, you know, the offshore drilling, which is a good idea, which even environmentalists were going for because they were taking existing platforms and going sideways under to get the oil. You know, $100 million for us, plus the oil, you know, which is independence, energy independence. And so after it was defeated, the people that voted for it, the Democrats, had their names purged. What kind of, you know, what kind of responsibility is that? What kind of leadership is that?
Well, we wanted to thank our guest, our special guest. You know, our children are our future. There is no doubt about it. And congratulations on your parents and your grandparents doing such a fine job in raising up somebody who's conscientious and as sweet as you are, Madeline. Shoot.
Thank you.
And you know what? You know, we have our leadership and people like Maddie that are going to be right up there in the forefront because, you know, they put themselves out and they're not afraid to put themselves out in the line. I mean, it's not easy being an entertainer, is it, Maddie?
Well, yeah, it's...
Mm-hmm. Well, for you, it's easy for you to say, not for me.
Well, thank you so much, Maddie. Any closing thoughts?
Thank you, I guess.
All right. Well, Maddie will be on the show Saturday night. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here and get back to our people on the lines, on the phone lines. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400, KQMS. Okay, got some more good news for you out there.
What?
Okay, today in the paper I saw they had a big article. You know, President Obama's down in Mexico again. He didn't quite get the welcome this time that he got last time. But one of the articles was talking about guns across the border. The Mexicans are again complaining that we're sending too many guns across the border. I wonder
that?
If President Obama's complaining that they're sending too many Mexicans across the border into the United States. Probably not. Now, the article I read that this guy was sitting behind a 50 caliber machine gun shooting it and having just smiles on his face and... that this 50 caliber heavy weapon, assault weapon could, you know, shoot through a tank. Well, let me tell you, unless things have changed a lot in the last 2 years since I've been out of the service, a 50 caliber Ma Deuce, while it is a great weapon, it's been around since World War One, does not shoot through tanks. Can't shoot through tanks. Doesn't have the power. Armored personnel carriers, it'll turn those into Swiss cheese, but not tanks. The other thing is their complaints is that we're letting weapons go across the border. And that's what's fueling the number of killings, which, by the way, was larger. They had more killed in last month. But they're using it as examples, executions, beheadings. I'm not sure that you're using guns to behead people, but, you know. Here's what's going on, though. As President Obama has said, he's going to have a tough time reinstituting the assault weapons ban, as he should, because we have a right to own weapons. It says so in the Second Amendment, even though the state of California doesn't believe in the Second Amendment. At least the legislators don't down there. They're making the bets. The people in the lowlands, or I should say the flatlands, that don't understand what the Second Amendment's about. So they want us to do something about it. Well, I think that's a great idea. We should do something about it. We should put enough agents and, you know, DEA and Treasury and Border Patrol and Customs and ICE and Homeland Security on there so we can make sure that no weapon gets across the border. I applaud that. Let's make sure no weapons go across the border. On the other hand, let's make sure no illegals come across the other way, too. That, to me, seems a way to handle this whole situation. But I wouldn't hold your breath on that. So what else is going on today?
Well, I just think it's a travesty, really. One of the headlines, of course, is about the 7 bodies pulled from the Hudson River. I mean, it's, you know, it's not just all dim and grim, but those news, you just never really know. On the positive aspect of that, you know, we being involved with Dwayne Tomei's funeral last year, is that you just have to take each day and really come from a place of gratefulness, because here's these people. There was a family from Pennsylvania, another 3 fathers with their 3 sons, and a group of people from Italy that were celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary. And they're just going up like we would go up here in a plane and overlook Whiskeytown Lake. It's you just never know when your time is going to expire. So you've got to grab the moment, seize the moment, be happy with now.
You know, one of the things that on this was that it was a helicopter and a plane. The plane was heading, I think, to Long Island, and the helicopter was just flying around. It was flying around New York when they hit, and they fell into the river. And
same place that U.S. Airways plane safely landed.
Safely landed, yeah. One of the things that I don't do, unless I'm really forced into it, is to fly on a small plane like that. You know, I've had plenty of opportunities to fly over the Grand Canyon in helicopters and small planes. I don't do it because I don't know who the pilot is. I don't know who's been maintaining the aircraft. I just don't do it. You know, I don't mind flying in big planes. I don't mind flying in military aircraft.
Bet you go if John was driving or flying. Our next door neighbor.
Okay, but I know John.
Yeah.
But I know John. But there's your difference. I know the kind of training he's had and what he's done. But just to go out on some place in the Grand Canyon and hop into a Piper Cub or whatever they have up there with some guy that is younger than my daughter and in a plane that I'm not too sure who's taking care of it, I don't do that. You know, I'm not trying to destroy, you know, people's confidence in it. I'm just saying how I feel. You know, you've gone out and flown in these and, you know, never had a problem, and the vast majority never do have a problem.
A lot of times when you also, let's look on the other hand of that, while you make your plane reservations, you don't know sometimes when you've got a puddle jumper and you're flying across the Great Lakes, or you're flying, you know, not exactly sure. I guess in this, you really look at the itinerary. When we flew to Tortola, I mean, we flew on major planes until we flew with a 6-plane passenger plane with a prop job.
Yeah. Made my day. The guy gets on there and he's crying and he says, my wife, she left me. And I went, oh, no. And he says, that's okay. I can fly. Manuel, I can make it. Oh, wow. You know, I have days like that. You know,
flying into Vegas is a bumpy ride.
Well,
and those are small planes at times from various destinations.
Yeah, but who cares? By the time you get to Vegas, you're all excited. But when you're leaving, you're unconscious anyway. You know, after the break, we're going to be taking a couple minutes. Our guest is General Tony Zinni. Like I was talking, you know, I was talking before about leadership. You know, the country needs leadership. It needs it at all levels. It's not just from the president, but it needs it in Congress. It needs it. It needs it in our state. It needs it in county, and it needs it in city.
In our schools,
everything. You need leadership. And the thing is that sometimes people acquire positions of authority based on money, and based on the fact they've been there longer than anybody else. And you know, I understand how that works, you know, seniority and all that. But let's take a look, and which I think we will today, on leadership, is the things that the new leader, the traits the new leader must have before they, you know, so they can be a success. Carl Lindabot, Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Our next guest is General Anthony Charles Zinni. He's a retired four-star general from the United States Marine Corps and a former commander-in-chief of the U.S. Central Command. And General Zinni has been in the Marine Corps for a long time and has done, if I told you everything the general has done and all the boards the general is on and the classes that he teaches, it would take the rest of the hour. So I'm going to have to break that off early. And just say is that our guest is a distinguished combat veteran and somebody that I had the honor to serve with and under. General, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
I'm good.
You know, sir, one of the things that we talk about is leadership in at all phases and at all levels of our society, from the president all the way down to our city council. And the book that you have just written, Leading the Charge, Leadership Lessons from the Battlefield to the Boardroom, is a spectacular book.
Oh, thank you.
Let me give our listeners a quick one here, is that I served under General Zinni when he was the commanding general of the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force. And one of the things the general did that was new to all of us was that we actually had classes where we met all the different senior units got together, and we worked out any type of problems that we might be facing in the future. Something that was new to us at that time, General.
Mm-hmm.
But something that you have since gone on and used at all levels where you've been at, both in the military and in the boardroom.
Right. I mean, you never stop learning. That's one thing I learned. And despite the fact that you move up to more senior positions, whether it's in the military or government or in the corporate world, the leaders that seem to feel they've arrived and there's nothing more to learn or to teach and impart, I think then begin the downward slide and begin to fail.
Now, General, you were you talked about in your book about in the old days when we were, in the past, not the old days, when we were coming up, we had our leadership traits and that how they have changed and what the leaders of today need to have to be successful.
Right.
Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think, you know, times change. We can see the effects today of globalization, of information technology, which delivers a lot of information that's not analyzed or processed right on our doorstep. We see a world that is much more diverse that we have to deal with. So I think that the way we go about business, it's not so much that the tried and true principles in their basis or foundation have changed, but the way you apply them. You have to make decisions faster. You have to deal with a complex, diverse set of cultures and people that you lead. You have to deal with a world that's much more expanded. I mean, you could think in terms of being globalized if you were, or not being globalized if you were a small business. Today, everything in the world affects your suppliers, your customers, your distribution. And so the events that have taken place really over the last two decades, it's just multiplied so greatly, have changed what leaders need to do.
Well, you mentioned you've broken down the traits that new leaders have into, I think it was another 12 or 13 traits they had to have, but two of them were the lead and ethics. Now, the lead, you were discussing the, you know, where it used to be when you were in the military, it was that, you know, shut up and do your job, never draw attention to yourself, never volunteer. But in today's military, that is completely different.
Right. I mean, we obviously have much more informed people that we lead in all aspects of society. We see it in the military. They want to know why they're doing what they're doing. They want to be able to contribute. They think, they analyze. And I think we've come to the realization, not only in the military, but again, in the corporate world and everybody else, you need to tap into them. They're the ones on the front lines. They're the ones that see it day to day. They have something to say. Unlike their predecessors, they're interested in being part of the organization, contributing what they can in order to help make you make the best decisions. And I see more now what I call in the book participatory decision making. It doesn't mean the boss isn't still the one that makes the decision, but he opens it up for more dialogue, for more input, for more suggestions, more options. He wants to hear, if he's a sound boss, what might go wrong. He wants to hear the things that others might feel he might not want to hear, but are important for him to know. And that creates a much more healthy environment for leaders.
Good morning, General. It's Linda Bott.
Good morning, Linda.
Thank you so much for the service to our country.
Thank you.
I have a question for you. The inspiration behind your book, and as you go on your book tour, what do you find is the commonality amongst the people?
I think, unfortunately, the commonality is a real belief that that we are in a leadership crisis. And I just wanted to be sure I wasn't sensing that from just some anecdotal experience, but all surveys and polls show, I think the last year, 77% of the American people felt we had a leadership crisis. Not, and it was across the board. It wasn't just, say, government or politics. It was religion. It was in the corporate or business world. And that was the theme I heard. And it's a much more confused, tougher world to understand. And the other part, or the other theme I was hearing, who is it and how can we adapt to this new world, understand it better, so that we can lead better, or we can find leaders that can lead better. So those two themes, were the ones that struck me, the lack of faith in quality leadership today, and then the need to adapt and understand a very confused, dynamic world.
You know, General, the list of characteristics a good leader must have that you have in your book are, is there anybody out there that has got all of these qualities? I realize that everybody has, you know, their strengths and weaknesses, but to have what you know, to be the person, male or female, that has all of these characteristics is, you know, they'd have to be an extraordinary person.
Yeah, I mean, certainly nobody's perfect, and these are traits I've noticed in successful leaders. Some possess, the good leaders, the ones that are succeeding, possess most of these, or some of every one of them to some degree. But I would just take an example in the military, for example, like General Dave Petraeus. When others were confused by the nature of the conflict we were faced with in Iraq, he came in and grasped it very quickly, designed a strategy for dealing with it, knew what had to be done, took charge. And even his counterpart, Ambassador Ryan Crocker, who came over later on, I mean, unlike their predecessors and others that try to come to grips with it, they were able to adapt and understand the world they were in and then design a way to deal with it. And consequently, from a tough situation that we had there, they've now put in a position, the leadership of Iraq, to be able to possibly pull this out and make it work. And so I think that was a remarkable thing for someone in that position to do. But you see it in all walks of life. I mean, why you look at an airline industry where most people are, organizations are failing, companies are going bankrupt, and then you see a Richard Branson make it happen. Or you look in the automobile industry where many automobile companies are failing, but then you see a Toyota or a Honda that make it. And you have to look at why. It all has to do with leadership. And in the book, I tried to line out those things I'm noticing that set them apart.
Great. We got to take a break.
Sure.
If you're just tuning in, we are on the phone with the great honor of speaking with General Tony Zini, the book, Leading the Charge, Leadership Lessons from the Battlefield to the Boardroom. 221-1402. Get your calls in now. This is Carla Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Our guest today is General Tony Zini, who's just written a book. It's his third one. It's this one is called Leading the Charge, Leadership Lessons from the Battlefield to the Boardroom. You know, General, one of the things that we kind of pride ourselves in the Corps and the other services is our ability to mentor our subordinates.
Right.
And you've got a big portion of your book talking about mentoring those that we lead.
I think that's critically important, Carl. You know, we grew up in the Marine Corps with role models right from the first time you're either at the officer candidate school or one of our recruit depots, and that staff NCO in front of you is the role model. And as you go out into your leadership experience, your first ones, you're fortunate enough to find someone who decides to take you under his wing and impart the benefit of the experience and the knowledge. And you find people that you really admire and respect, and you respect them for their competence, for the way they lead men and women. And if you're able to, you know, draw on that knowledge, it makes you so much better. And then as you get up in the leadership ranks, I think we all learned in the Corps that you turn around and you do the same thing. You see people with a lot of promise that show caring for their people and interest in learning and being competent, and they're the ones that you want to pull in and make sure they develop well. I think in the Corps it's special to us because we know everybody is going to be responsible for other Marines and sailors and going to take them in the harm's way possibly. And so it's important that we be sort of have that sort of relationship that goes up and down the chain.
Now, how would you draw a parallel with that one and the corporate world?
You know, I'm beginning to see it more and more in the corporate world. I'm impressed with the fact that you're now starting to see not only more mentoring, but they're actually formalizing it. This idea of coaching, there's a lot more done in the way of counseling so people understand where their strengths are and the areas they need to work on. And then the organization brings in or has within the organization coaches to work on areas of improvement. And this whole idea of coaching and mentoring now has become so much a part of the corporate world. It's a relatively new phenomenon. It wouldn't be new to us in the military, of course. I think we did it instinctively and automatically. I'm seeing in the corporate world now the value is so important that they're formalizing it and ensuring that people have the right kind of coaches and mentors to help them get through. More importantly, I'm seeing that young people want that. You know, they really feel that's important for their own development.
Well, you know, I was going to mention that our newest lead, as you put it, expect a lot from their leaders, and they're not afraid to challenge the leaders.
Well, you hit the nail right on the head. This is a much different generation. They are demanding. I mean, they want that responsibility. They also want to know how they're doing. They want to know where their areas of limitation are and how to improve them. And they want to be part of everything that goes on, and that's part and parcel of it. So it is a different kind of generation that's out there now than we've seen in the past.
You know, one of the things that I also really enjoyed in the book was the chapter on ethics. The ethics that we need, that I think we search for in our leaders. And our leaders, that's just also in business. You know, one of the examples that you gave, but one of the ones that struck me too, is when all the automobile, the CEOs of automobile firms came down to ask for money and they flew in their corporate jets.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, I don't know if that's an ethical thing. I think it is, but I know it's a common sense problem they were having. Your comments on ethics in today's business and politics.
I think we just see too many violations of ethics or ethical and moral standards, let alone legal standards. We are now in a world where we've required so much in the way of legislation and regulatory organizations and processes because of the abuses we've seen. I think people are getting fed up in every aspect of society where they see this. They have problems with religious leaders. They have problems with political leaders. They see business leaders that do things that stretch the limits of ethical behavior or codes of conduct or even the law. And I think you're starting to see now a demand that this be cleaned up. I know in the corporate world, beside the legislation and regulations that are in there now, people are realizing it's good business. You want to be known as a reputable company. If you have a problem or an issue, you better get it out and get it over with and be transparent and honest with it. This sense of now the term corporate social responsibility, you know, begins with how you treat employees, the quality of your product, the fair price you charge, the way you interact with all the stakeholders in your organization. And if you don't have that reputation and you don't maintain it and you don't fix problems that damage it, you're not going to be in business long, because I think people are now saying, I don't want something cheap, you know, and I have to question what's in it and what it can do to me. I don't want to deal with someone who I can't trust that is not being fair to me. And I certainly don't want to deal with businesses who have leaders that get tremendous compensation not based on performance, and when the company fails, go on with a golden parachute to a better life.
You know, that's what we have to take a quick break here, General. But, you know, I think that's what offends many Americans, or offends me, is that how can you run a company, a huge corporation, into the ground and get paid $50 million for doing that, at least $50 million for doing that? There's something wrong. Now, on the other hand, if you take a company and you make it a success, I have no problem with people being rewarded for that. I don't know if anybody does. We got to take a quick break here. It's Carl and the Bot here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, it's Carla Linda Bott here, Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. We've had the great honor today, our guest, who is still with us, General Tony Zinni. Leading the Charge is the name of the book, Leadership Lessons from the Battlefield to the Boardroom. Once again, thank you, General, for being with us.
Thank you, Linda.
And do you have some final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, the final thought I would have is that, you know, we get the leadership that we demand, and for all of us out there in any walk of life, whether we're a customer or, you know, whatever we are, we ought to demand the best in the way of leadership. We ought to demand that we get leadership that's responsive to what our needs are, and we ought to get leadership that's competent and capable and ethical in everything that they do.
Thanks a lot, sir. Now, truthfully, I was not your largest leadership problem while you were in the Marine Corps, was I?
You and I, Carl. I'm
okay.
Proud of you.
You know, sir, one last thing, sir. On the highest levels, I know you don't get involved in politics.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you see in the president here? We've only got a couple minutes left.
Yeah. Well, I think it's too early to tell. I mean, obviously, he's charismatic. He communicates well. He's made some you know, controversial and tough decisions, but the economy, national security policy, we're going to see. Next 6 months to a year are going to be critical, and that'll determine how people judge his performance.
You know, I was trying to do that the other day. We don't bash the president here. You know, we question things that we see from, you know, for the, you know, President Bush also.
Sure.
Some of the decisions that were made during that time frame. And it is, but I see somebody that's trying to grow into the job, and like a second lieutenant who goes into combat that first time. That's hoping that he's got that great staff sergeant, that great platoon sergeant that you've had and I've had
right.
in the past to kind of guide us through.
Sergeant Major.
Yeah. Hey, sir, thanks a lot. And where can we get this book? Where can we get your book?
It's in all the bookstores now, and certainly Amazon. And it came out last week, and it's there.
You know, like I said, General, before the show, is that we usually don't, you know, we usually don't have authors on. But one of the things we've been talking about for so long on here is our, you know, the leadership that we need at all levels, and how people should start screaming for that leadership, and to, you know, to hold our elected leaders responsible, which I hope that they will be doing here.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, sir.
Semper Fi, Carl.
Semper Fi, sir.
Yeah, that's great. And on this week, we have a pretty intense week.
We do. We've got, now tomorrow it's going to be open line. Wednesday, hopefully, we're going to have one of our medical marijuana dispensaries will be here to discuss selling marijuana legally. We're in a in a state where it's legal, but in the feds it's not, and how that works. You know, we're getting more and more of these around town. Thursday, we've got the district attorney, Jerry Benito, will be on here, and we'll be discussing various cases that have come across his desk here in the last few months, which has caused a little consternation to people. And then Friday, another open line show. However, we will have a special guest, somebody that we're importing in from Hollywood. That's going to be with Linda on Saturday.
We'll just surprise you on that one. Well, this is really, you know what, I can't wait to dig into this book.
You know, I got the book, I think Wednesday sent me a copy of the book, and it's all dog-eared now, and it's got marks all over it, because, the thing about it is, in today's society, the fluidity of information, that information that we have this, literally at the beginning of this week, the ways of getting it can be changed by Friday. If you don't Twitter, I still am not too sure what Twittering is. Guys, you're out of it now. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. What's your year?